and popular Ukrainian group Teen Sonsia with Yihale Kozake, The Riding Cossacks, a song that's also got an alternative title of Slaves Are Not Allowed into Heaven. Dobrý den and welcome to Náš Hlas Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you here on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. I'm your host, Pavlina. On today's program, Cultural Capsule, we'll take a look back at the Chernobyl nuclear disaster that happened 38 years ago this past Friday, and Vassel will be sharing a personal insight into that disaster. As well, we've got news from Ukraine, our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a song that I discovered last year, a group from Kryvyi Rih in eastern Ukraine, Kryvorizhke Hopachok, which is actually a cover of Lasha Tumbai. And this is a young group of dancers and singers from Kryvyi Rih who decided on New Year's Eve that year to do a cover of Lasha Tumbai, which was a song recorded and written by Ukrainian comedian Verka Serduchka, and it was actually Ukrainian entry at Eurovision Song Contest 2007, held in Helsinki, and it took second place there. Caused a lot of controversy because Verka Serduchka is a Ukrainian, I guess, drag queen, sort of, quite an interesting character. And this song was panned by Russia quite vociferously because of the lyrics in the chorus, Lasha Tumbai, which originally Verka Serduchka claimed was a Mongolian phrase for whipped cream or churned butter, but that actually was not true. It was just a nonsense phrase, but it sounded a lot like Russia goodbye. Now, Verka Serduchka and all the Ukrainians involved in the song denied that that was the case. They said it was just nonsense lyrics, and it maybe sounded or rhymed with Russia goodbye, but it didn't say that. However, in this version by the Kryvyi Rih youngsters, it definitely does say Russia goodbye. No mistake about that. So it's a great cover. Enjoy.
Dobrý den, everybody. We are Theater of Songs, Mr. North. Let's big dance, Ukraine Hopachok.
Украинский Хопачок, потанцуем раз, два. Хай пощезнуть вороги.
Клёво!
Клёво!
The world was changed for good that day, and we were just an element, the victims of an accident or nuclear experiment. Our occupiers played a god that none of them believed in, and gave us all the devil, but no choice, we had to breed him. The hammer banged, raised fallout dust, the sickle of uranium, poisoned lands and rivers, Belarusian and Ukrainian. These symbols now mean more than ideology that failed. They spell the Soviet sin that to this very day prevails. Chernobyl, there was a time when you could breathe. Chernobyl, you also had a history. Chernobyl, born in 1193. Chernobyl, did scriptures say it was to be? Their sickness lives in old and young, in children also blameless, a parting gift from a regime whose second name was shameless. There's something I can't understand, this crime was so severe, yet he who tried to hide it is a man now most revered. The sheep from Wales and Norway then got too sick to ignore. It seems for world opinion that their illness counted more than all the wrongs the Red Star brought to many eastern nations. Yet somehow it's still cool for some to guard its reputation. Chernobyl, there was a time when you could breathe. Chernobyl, you also had a history. Chernobyl, born in 1193. Chernobyl, did scriptures say it was to be? They read deluded diatribe by so-called expert thinkers in cafe bars in Islington, then preach to normal drinkers, a blind eye to the crimes of one, but we're all taught the other. Swastika, hammer, sickle, had the same bitch for a mother. Try Molotov and Ribbentrop in 1939. They planned to share out Europe, that was once upon a time. But 25 years ago was born Forbidden Zone. It's still today for some poor souls a poisoned place called home. Chernobyl, there was a time when you could breathe. Chernobyl, you also had a history. Chernobyl, born in 1193. Chernobyl, did scriptures say it was to be?
To Cultural Capsule here on Ukrainian Roots Radio, Nash Holos. This was a piece I wrote for the Kyiv Weekly on the 20th anniversary of the Chernobyl nuclear catastrophe. The Kyiv Weekly stopped publishing its English language editions in 2014. So here is just a copy from my personal archives. It's called She Watched It Burn. When she dreams, she doesn't dream about things that are contemporary, but rather from her childhood and the events that happened before the catastrophe at the Chernobyl nuclear power station on April 26, 1986, 38 years ago. When the Chernobyl nuclear power station started to burn early in the morning that April, Olena Mokhny, now 42 years old, was asleep in her bed in the city of Pripyat. The city was built by the Soviet government to house the employees of the Chernobyl nuclear power station. By 1986, the city had grown to a population of about 50,000. In the morning, like all other children her age, Olena got up and went to school. When we got to school that Saturday morning, our teachers were already aware that there was something wrong. We were given some type of tablets to take, though we never swallowed them. Instead, we went to the bathroom and spit them out. In retrospect, it is probably fair to suggest that these were iodine supplements, since the authorities must have known something about the effects of radiation, in particular how iodine-deficient organisms would absorb radioactive iodine, and how this might affect early childhood development. When we were sent home from school that morning, we all wanted to go and watch it burn. But along the way, some parents directed us to go home, said Olena. Though that night, Olena, together with her older brother and sister, watched Chernobyl burn from their balcony. Not only could we see the fire, we could see lights being shone from above. It was as if something was shining down from the heavens, Olena said with a look on her face as if she was living through the experience all over again. Olena's family learned firsthand that something terrible had happened from Olena's uncle, who worked at the plant. He had been on an early shift sitting in the exact place of his colleague, whose grave became Chernobyl, and the concrete sarcophagus that covered the plant once the fire had been extinguished. Later, her uncle returned to work at Chernobyl, feeling the guilt that his colleague had lost his life. On April 27th, everyone in Olena's family listened to the fixed-wire radio, which was present in practically all Soviet homes at the time. We heard the familiar voice of a local poetess who told us that there was going to be an evacuation, said Olena. We gathered all we could take with us and made our way down to the square in front of our building. We waited for what seemed like an eternity, but it was about 3 hours before buses began to arrive. As we drove away from the place that I would not return to for 19 years and travel towards Kiev, the people in charge of the buses wanted to leave us in some village in the middle of nowhere. But our parents and others demanded that we be taken to Kiev, Olena explained, as if in a dream, alone, without parents. When they arrived in Kiev, Olena's parents decided to send their children to their maternal grandmothers in Kharkiv, as distant a place they could think of in order to provide the appropriate care for their children. When we arrived at my grandmother's, some news had already spread regarding what had happened. Our grandmother was a pharmacist, and when we got there, she didn't waste much time taking us to the local radiology laboratory. My brother, sister, and I stood there, and we were checked with a dosimeter. The doctors quickly scurried out of the examination. We waited. Then the door opened, and in walked the doctors, dressed up in what looked like spacesuits, Olena expressed, as if she were still a child. The doctors decided that all the children should be scrubbed down. After we went through that procedure, they tested us with a dosimeter again. All the areas of our skin that were washed showed a normal reading. Then they ran the dosimeter near our heads. The readings went well over normal, and that was when they shaved our heads, said Olena. Olena and her siblings were then sent to a pioneer camp on the outskirts of Odessa. Pioneers was a youth organization that started the communist indoctrination program. It was there and outside the camp that they faced the harshest words from children of their own age who were not from the evacuation zone. They called us hedgehogs, said Olena, running her fingers through her now neck-length hair. Their hair, which had started to grow back, was bristly and truly looked like the bristling hairs of a hedgehog. It was difficult at times because all we had was our older brother who would look out for us, even though he wasn't much older than we were. During the months that followed, the children were visited by their parents a few times, and it wasn't until 6 months later, at the end of November, that they were all reunited in Kiev. Shattered dreams and closure. While still in Pripyat, Olena had been told by her teachers that on account of her good grades, she'd be skipping a grade, partially due to the fact that she had been attending school with her older sister, Irina. When she arrived in Kiev, this was one of her greatest concerns. It was like I was always asking my mother if what I had been promised would come true, but her reply would be, "We'll see." Olena, together with her family, were often ostracized as if they were to blame for their predicament. When they first moved into the apartment they were provided with, it was empty and her parents had a hard time finding work. Her mother and she were always at odds with the teachers at the school as they tried to ensure that what she had been promised back in Pripyat would come to be true. Needless to say, the promise never came true, like many other promises made by people and the government. For years now, I haven't even bothered trying to get the subsidies that I'm entitled to, as it is more of a headache than worth the while. But my mother still goes through the whole process of getting all the different pieces of paper in order that she still collects her benefits, said Olena. What seems to be more important to Elena is what she experienced last year when she returned to Pripyat for the 19th anniversary of the accident. She then returned not only to the family's old apartment, but also to her classroom. However, that first journey to her childhood home can be considered closure for her. And maybe someday soon, she will start to have other types of dreams. I do have some catching up to do with my friend Elena, whose company was always pleasant. Maybe 38 years later, her dreams are in Technicolor and a little more pleasant.
Чистки жить, заботи.
Very popular singer from Ukraine, Taras Petrenenko, with Chernobylska Zona, Chernobyl Zone. And before Vasily, you heard Ludwig from London, England, and his song about Chernobyl. Coming up next is a young man who sings by himself in four parts harmony. He has a great channel on YouTube if you want to follow him. His name is Malyarevsky. And here he is with another favorite classic of Taras Petrenenko, Ukraino, which, in my opinion, he really does justice to.
Дороги іншої не треба, коли зори чумацький шлях. Я йду до тебе по золотих твоїх стежках. Мені не можна не любити, тобі не можна не цвісти. Лиш доти варто в світі жити, поки живеш і квітнеш ти. Україно, Україно, після далечі дорі, вірне серце твого сина я кладу тобі. Поки кохаєм донестями, і ще не скоро наш кінець, ще може нашими серцями розпалим тисячі сердець, ще свічка наша не згоріла. Наша молодість при нас, а те, чи варте наше діло, то скажуть люди, скаже час. Україно, Україно, після далечі дорі, серце твого сина я кладу тобі до ніг. Україно, Україно, після далечі дорі, вірне серце твого сина я кладу тобі до ніг, тобі до ніг.
Ви слухаєте наш голос Радіо Українського коріння, котре подається вам на хвилі CHLY 101.7 FM у місті Нанаймо.
You're listening to Naš Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo.
Боже великий є
Popular Ukrainian singer Dzidzio with Molitva za Ukraino, Prayer for Ukraine, also known as Bozhe Veleke, a very cherished hymn that is considered the spiritual anthem of Ukraine. Up next, an interesting character by the name of Kozak Siromaha. He is a modern-day real-life Kozak that lives the old lifestyle. On the one hand, on the other hand, he is a musician who very much takes advantage of all the modern methods of promoting Ukraine, Ukrainian culture, and fundraising for the troops. Kozak Siromaha, here he is with an old Kozak song, a love song with a timeless theme that certainly applies to today's situation in Ukraine. Zasvistale Kozachenka, a song about Kozak women and war.
Засвистали козаченьки в похід полуночі. Заплакала дівчиноніка свої ясні очі. Заплакала дівчиноніка свої ясні очі. Не плач, дівчинонька, не плач, не журися. Краще задзвонило, бо помолиться. Краще задзвонило, бо помолиться. Світить місяць над водою, а сонця немає. Мати сина в доріжинку слізно проводжає. Мати сина в доріжинку слізно проводжає. Ой, радовище я пила мати, ще раніше в яку одину.
приймеш мою дівчиноньку, як рідну дитину.
Приймеш мою дівчиноньку, як рідну дитину.
Не плач, не плач, не вдуріться, хто не впадайте.
Загромні кінь вороненьки, на тут подлівайте.
Загромні кінь вороненьки, на тут подлівайте.
Загромні кінь вороненьки, на тут подлівайте.
Hello, I'm Anton Lysenko. Listen to our new in-depth interview about Lev Silenko, a great Ukrainian patriot and the person who restored ancient Ukrainian spirituality and traditions. Our guest is the book publisher Igor Necheda. Full version of the interview in Ukrainian language with English subtitles. As usually, you can find on our YouTube channel of Ukrainian Roots Radio Nash Golos.
Лев Силенко – це дуже велика постать в історії України і не тільки. Справа в тому, що після того, як зруйнувався Радянський Союз, після того усі країни, які входили до нього, почали досліджувати свою ідентичність і свою духовність, яка з прадавніх часів в нас була. Пан Лев Силенко дуже сильно поважав Трипілля. Тепер ми знаємо більше. Трипільська цивілізація – це одна з найдавніших у світі. І дійсно вона була на території сучасної України і Румунії. І саме трипільські поселення, дійсно, вони вражають. Наприклад, в Черкаській області знайдені зараз цілі міста, протоміста, які були багато десятків гектарів за площею. А в Тернопільській області є Вартеба. Це підземне місто, яке побудували трипільці. Ціле підземне місто. І археологи вважають, що воно має, і вони розкопують його, вже є туристичний доступ, приблизно 150 гектарів, 9 порогів Дніпра. Колись в давнину цілі племена приходили до порогів і деякий час жили біля порогів, потім йшли далі по своєму маршруту міграції. Навіщо вони приходили до порогів? Бо вони розповідали, що біля порогів вони відчувають, як їх насичує силою. І після того вони вже насичені силою можуть іти далі і щось будувати і кудись іти. І в Україні тисячі років, як державі, як території, на якій народжується постійно щось нове духовне. Візьміть будь-які великі держави світу. Вони, по-перше, мають духовну основу. Ну, хоча б та сама Індія. Махатма Ганді пройшовся по всій Індії з проповіддю. І що він сказав? Що ми ж давня культура, що ми не можемо об'єднатися і щось зробити. Вони об'єдналися і вирішили питання, що там колоніальна війна закінчилася без жертв. Ну так само будь-яка країна світу, вона будує себе. Є якась духовна основа, якась філософська духовна база, духовна, і на цій базі виникає вже матеріальне щось. А без цієї бази то нема підтримки. Ну, спочатку треба відродити ідею, відродити культуру, потім втілити її в матеріальному плані, і все буде гаразд.
Find the link in the podcast show notes or simply search Наш голос Ukrainian Roots Radio on YouTube. Enhance your Ukrainian culture journey with Nash Holos.
And for those interested in the topic but are Ukrainian challenged, Anton always puts excellent English subtitles on his YouTube videos. So do check out our YouTube channel. Earlier this year, Ukrainian-Canadian singer-songwriter Adrian Glynn of Vancouver was nominated for a Juno Award with his folk ensemble, The Fugitives. He also recently released his solo album, You're Just a Place That I Know. It was inspired by his grandparents' experience in a refugee camp in post-World War II Europe, where they met before emigrating to Canada. Adrian spoke with us early in March about the story behind his album. If you missed that interview, I'll put a link to it in the podcast show notes. Adrian also mentioned his upcoming album release concert on Sunday, May 5th, which will feature a full band, a full choir led by Adam Kozak Jr., musicians performing on the bandura and lira, and plenty of storytelling. Early bird tickets are still available, and for anyone who isn't available to attend in person, there are tickets available for a high-quality live stream. Adrian Glynn performs You're Just a Place That I Know on Sunday, May 5th at St. James Hall in Kits, located at 3214 West 10th Avenue, in Vancouver. Doors open at 7 p.m., showtime is 8 p.m. Tickets for early bird are $20 and $30 at the door, $15 for the live stream. For a link to the ticket vendor, check the podcast show notes. Again, Adrian Glynn performing You're Just a Place That I Know on Sunday, May 5th at St. James Hall in Kits at 3214 West 10th Avenue in Vancouver. Here is a song from his album, You're Just a Place That I Know, and it tells a story of how his grandparents met. His grandfather would dance for soldiers in the DP camp and earn some cigarettes, while his grandmother secretly watched him. Here's Adrian Glynn with Dancing for the Soldiers.
Bye. the soldiers, though I dreamed that it was me. I'd have flowers all in garlands and embroiders down my sleeve, and you'd dash my heart wide open like there were roses in your teeth, and you'd bring the planets closer and you would lift me from my feet. And in the morning glow, you'd be beside me in my sleep. You were dancing for the soldiers, but I dreamed you'd dance for me.
And now the latest news from Ukraine, courtesy the Kiev Independent, Ukraine's largest and fastest-growing English-language news organization. Russian attacks against Ukraine killed 7 people and injured at least 36 over the past day, regional authorities said early on April 30th. Russia targeted a total of 10 Ukrainian oblasts or provinces, with casualties reported in 4. Russia carried out a missile attack on the regional center of Odessa with a cluster munition warhead, killing 5 people and injuring at least 31. Over 20 people were hospitalized, with 4 people in critical condition, including a 4-year-old girl. In Donetsk Oblast, 1 person was killed and 2 others injured in an attack on the village of Krasnohorivka in the Pokrovsk district. In Kherson Oblast, 17 settlements, including the regional center of Kherson, were struck. 1 person was killed and another injured. Russian attacks also damaged 10 houses, a critical infrastructure facility, an administration building, a cultural institution, and a car. In Kharkiv Oblast, Russian troops attacked 18 settlements, including Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city. Russia struck Kharkiv City with KAB-guided bombs, injuring a 42-year-old man who remains in serious condition. The village of Kupiansk-Vuzlovye in the northeastern part of Kharkiv Oblast was also struck with KAB-guided bombs. A 67-year-old man was wounded. Ukrainian officials have repeatedly accused Russia of using cluster munitions to target civilian areas. These weapons spray small bomblets across a wide area, with some of them detonating long after the attack, posing a continued danger to the local population. Russian double-tap strikes have killed more than 90 Ukrainian first responders and injured close to 350 civilians since April 2022, said Timothy Hanway, the acting U.S. envoy to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, OSCE, in an address on April 25th. A double-tap attack is a military tactic in which an initial strike is followed by a delayed second strike intended to kill or injure first responders who arrived at the scene. It is a war crime. Since a report issued shortly after the beginning of the full-scale invasion, Hanway said that Russia's usage of this illegal tactic has been increasing. Russia's usage of double-tap strikes preceded its full-scale war in Ukraine, having been employed extensively in Syria and as far back as the wars in Chechnya. President Volodymyr Zelensky used the anniversary of the Chernobyl disaster on April 26th to highlight the continuing threat Russia poses while the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant is held hostage by Moscow's forces. The Zaporizhzhia plant is the largest nuclear plant in Europe, and it has been under Russian occupation since March 2022. The Chernobyl plant was also occupied by Moscow's forces for 35 days at the start of Russia's full-scale invasion. Throughout its occupation, the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant has been repeatedly disconnected from the Ukrainian power grid due to Russian attacks on the country's energy infrastructure. Zelensky said the Chernobyl disaster showed the world how quickly deadly threats can appear, adding that radiation does not recognize borders and does not distinguish national flags. For 785 days, the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, the largest in Europe, has been held hostage by Russian terrorists, he said. It is the duty of the whole world to put pressure on Russia so that the nuclear power plant is released and returned to the full control of Ukraine, and that all nuclear facilities in Ukraine are protected from Russian strikes. A Russian multi-role helicopter Ka-32 was destroyed at the Ostafievo airfield in Moscow, Ukraine's military intelligence agency HUR reported. An intelligence source confirmed to the Kyiv Independent that the helicopter was destroyed overnight on April 26th as a result of an HUR operation. Ukrainian forces regularly conduct drone strikes and sabotage acts on Russian territory, targeting military assets, oil refineries, and industrial facilities. Kyiv usually doesn't officially comment on attacks inside Russia. Russia's Kamov Ka-32 helicopter can be used as passenger and cargo transport to aid search and rescue operations, building construction, loading and unloading ships, and emergency evacuations. The destroyed unit of aviation equipment was used by the aggressor state in the interests of the Moscow Aviation Center, in particular to support the operations of the Russian invading army, HUR said. The Ostafievo airfield, located in Moscow's southern suburbs, is owned by Russia's Defense Ministry and operated jointly with Gazpromavia, which is part of the country's state-run energy giant Gazprom. Ukraine has intensified strikes against military and industrial targets in Russia in recent weeks. Airbus, one of the world's largest manufacturers of commercial passenger jets, has been granted a waiver by the Canadian government allowing it to continue using Russian titanium. This after Ottawa became the first Western nation to ban the metal in its latest package of sanctions targeting the Kremlin. The world's largest titanium deposit is located in the Komi Republic in northern Russia. Airbus was concerned the sanctions meant an effective ban on the import of its European-made jets, which rely on lightweight titanium for their construction. A recent report from the Washington Post highlighted that the Russian titanium firm VSMPO Avisma has not been placed under sanctions by the United States or the European Union, despite being partly owned by Rostec, a defense conglomerate that owns hundreds of companies and is under U.S. and European sanctions. Rostec is led by an ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin, Sergei Chemezov, who has been personally sanctioned since the annexation of Crimea in 2014. Since the beginning of its full-scale invasion on February 24, 2022, Russia has lost 468,720 troops in Ukraine, the General Staff of Ukraine's Armed Forces reported on April 30th. This number includes 1,250 casualties Russian forces suffered just over the previous day. According to the report, Russia has also lost 7,307 tanks, 14,046 armored fighting vehicles, 16,109 vehicles and fuel tanks, 12,011 artillery systems, 1,053 multiple launch rocket systems, 779 air defense systems, 348 airplanes, 325 helicopters, 9,531 drones, 26 ships and boats, and a submarine. And that's the news from Ukraine for today. Coming to you courtesy the Kyiv Independent, Ukraine's largest and fastest-growing English-language news organization. For more up-to-date news stories as they happen, visit their website, kyivindependent.com, and make sure to follow them on social media. To allow this independent Ukrainian news team to continue delivering you news from on the ground in Ukraine, please consider becoming a member at kyivindependent.com. Нагадую, ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш голос», радіо нашого коріння на радіостанції CHLY 101.7 FM у місті Нанаймо. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час дому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим цими словами мудрості. Наріканням приятелів собі не здобудеш. And our proverb of the week translates as, complaining won't make you friends. And with that, we've come to the end of another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. In between broadcasts, please stay in touch with us via our Facebook page, YouTube channel, and Instagram. For transcripts, audio archives, and a link to our podcast, visit our website, www.nashholos.com. And of course, you can also find Nash Holos on your favorite podcast app. And do check out the podcast show notes. That's where you'll find links that were mentioned in today's show. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and CHLY, thanks so much for listening. Till we meet again, do zusidichi.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.